What I want to talk about today is just your walk with God. Sounds pretty simple, right? If you look through the Bible, walking, walked, walks, those words walked are through the Bible some 400 times. And if you want to do a study on your own, make sure I'm not lying to you. You can use Blue Letter Bible, look up all the words. And basically what I want to do is if you take a survey of those, the uses of those words, I think you'll find they fall into kind of four general buckets. So there's four kind of main themes that come out when we look at it. And I think it's important, you know, if you grew up in religious circles, you're used to church life, maybe you're not somebody that didn't have any type of religious background. So the idea of your walk with God is something you're familiar with. If you're a guest here or you've just been saved recently, maybe this is something you're not that familiar with. But the term can become almost Christian-y. If I ask you, how's your walk with God doing, or what's happening in your walk with God? Sometimes it can seem almost effeminate. Other times it's overly religious. But it is biblical, which I think is important. And when God talks about our relationship with him, he uses this language. And so I think it's worth fighting for and reminding ourselves about. And the reason I think it's also important this morning is because no matter where you are, maybe you're younger, if you're older, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, your walk with the Lord matters. There are certain things in the Bible that are for certain times in life, or maybe they're just for men or for women or for children. But this is the type of thing that is for all of us at every point in life. No matter where you are, if you know God, what he has to say about your walk with God and the reality of your walk with God matters. So let's begin here. We're going to look in Genesis 3:8. And the first thing I think we're going to see here, just point one, if you will, is walking with God is what we were made for. Genesis 3:8, we're familiar with this. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So here we have Adam and Eve with God. But when God wants to talk about his relationship with them, notice what it says. They hear him walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They are familiar with this process, whatever it looks like. Unfortunately, at this point, sin has entered in. And we see they hide themselves. But what we infer from that is the opposite was normally true. Hearing God walking was something they would join and be connected to and were used to and was a part of their normal experience in life. And now something has changed that. If you flip a little bit forward to Genesis chapter 5, we're familiar with this man Enoch in verse 22. Notice it says, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Then if you skip to 24, it says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. If you move a little bit forward to Genesis 6, verse 9, notice it says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And notice, Noah walked with God. When Jacob's blessing Joseph at the end of his life, he talks about the God of his fathers, Abraham and Isaac, before whom they walked. This theme, when the Bible, from the very beginning, when the Bible wants to talk about people in right relationship with God, it says they walked with God. That's what it says. That's what it tells us. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob walked with God. Doesn't mean they were perfect. They certainly weren't. But there was a defining feature of their life. They were in right relationship with him because they walked with him. And we see God's ideal in this. We see the beauty of it from Eden on. And we see the tragic breaking of that walk with God and how sin affects it. But I think in all practicality, sometimes, again, we can read things in the Bible and not really like think like, okay, what does this mean then? In all practicality, what did it mean for an Adam and a Noah and an Enoch and an Abraham to walk with God? What did that look like for them? Well, it meant living with God in the normal pace of life. So notice, Enoch walked with God before he was taken. Adam and Eve walked with God before sin entered in. Noah walked with God before he built the ark. And I think that's important because usually when we think about walking with God, a lot of times what comes to us are the big things in life. I'm making a big decision. I just found out I have cancer. Should I marry this person? Lord, do you want us to move? We think about these big scenarios. We're like, okay, I need to walk with God there. But what God shows us is he wants to walk with us everywhere. Walking is the normal pace of things. Nobody runs like they walk. Even anybody who loves running, you don't do it for as long as you can walk. Enoch walked with God 300 years. He didn't run with God 300 years. He walked with God 300 years. This is the regular pace of life. It's not just the super exciting things. And we can almost check out, like, God, this isn't a very important thing. He's probably not very interested in my normal process or day. But then when big things happen, I gotta make sure he's there. That's not what we see here. It is the normal process of life. God wants to share with you in all of your life. These people who walk with God, we don't know almost anything about the 300 years that Enoch had. We know the big thing that happened in his life, he was taken. We know from Jude, he was a preacher, a prophet of righteousness. But we don't have a lot of details other than he walked with God, his normal life, sharing it with the Lord. The second thing we see is these people, because they walk with God, are connected with God's purposes and his plans and even his protection in life. Adam and Eve knew God's purposes, his commandments. They broke those, though. Noah knew God's purposes in the world, and because he walked with God, he was connected to very important things happening. Enoch, same thing. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, because they walked with God, they weren't perfect, but their lives were connected to what God was doing. And a walk with God infers that your life and my life is actually connected to the things God is doing. Whatever God is doing in the world. We don't have to be the major player, but the reality is you are made unique in the Lord. You have a unique walk in him. And if God were to actually, anybody here, particularly some older saints here who have walked with God for quite a while, you might not think your life is very exciting, but if we actually saw the unique blend of providence in your life, that God put you here, where he put you, how he made you, where he took you from, his acts in your life, the connections in your life, and the people all around you, if we played it out, it would be a Bible story just like Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob's life. God's hand would be just as much in it. And the most amazing thing that we can say about any of them are that they walk with God. Abraham saw miracles, but it was simply because he was the friend of God, because he walked with him. And God wants to walk with you. And the unique situations around your life, challenges, difficulties, successes, victories, defeats, struggles, he wants to be involved in all of that, connected to you. And third, we see that it meant they had a lived awareness of his presence. When you walk with somebody, it shows a shared connection. There is a communion there. I went to a Bible college in Southern California, Christian Bible college. So if anybody has been to a Christian Bible college, you probably know this. Often they're jokingly referred to as well as bridal colleges because a lot of Christian kids meet and get married at Bible colleges. There was this man-made lake at this Bible college that I went to. There was a nice trail that went around the lake, and people were always kind of walking around there because it was a nice, kind of beautiful setup to walk in. But there was a joke that if a male and a female walked around the lake together three times, you were something, right? There's one time, maybe you're just visiting, right? You see two times around the lake, maybe you're friends. Three times, okay, there's something going on there. Why? Because the joke is like, obviously you guys got a lot to talk about here. There's a sharing of presence with presence. There's an acknowledgement, like you want to be with this person. So this scene we have here is when the Bible talks about these people walking with God, it just infers like God meets them and talks with them. There's no explanation. God's there with Adam and Eve. Just tells us that. God just talks with Enoch and then takes him home. There's a close uniqueness there. God just appears in Noah's life and starts telling him what he's doing in the world. No explanation, just two people together. And the Bible takes it for granted that God can show up in your life and communicate with you. And he says to Abraham at one point in Genesis 17:1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless." Now, it wasn't because God wasn't with Abraham. It was because Abraham needed to know he was with God. Walk before me. What that means is God is the thing that fills our vision. God is the thing that we're connected to. And I think this is important because I can ask most of you here, if I said, do you have a walk with God? You'd probably say yes. But there's plenty of Christians in the world that still feel distant, or they question that, or they wonder why their walk isn't what it's supposed to be. And I think one of the main reasons is because they don't walk before God. What I mean by that is God is secondary somehow in their life. What they actually walk before is something else. Something else dominates their vision. It could be sin. You know, often then we think of drugs or alcohol or sexual relationships or something else. But the reality is it could be a whole lot of other things. There are some people, their fears is what they actually walk before. Their fears dominate them. They fear for themselves more than they trust in God. God is small and distant. Not that he's not real, but he's secondary. Their career is what they walk before. The politics is what they walk before. Their weekend or their next home project, somebody else's opinion, that's what they walk before. That's the thing that's biggest in their life. Some of us here, seeing LeBron James in a Sixers jersey is the biggest thing right now that we walk before. He's a large person. But, you know, there's always these other things that can be the real thing that we walk before, and then we start to feel distant or wonder where God is in our life. God has to tell Abraham, you walk before me. I'm the Almighty God. Is he what dominates our vision, who we're walking with? He wants to be a part of your everyday life. He wants you to be tied into his purposes. He wants you to know with a lived consciousness that he is with you in your life, not just in the big things, but Tuesday morning. That's what we see from the very beginning. People in right relationship with God, they walk with God. Now, if you would flip to Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at the next thing here. Walking with God is what you are made for. But the other thing we're going to see, my point two, just in general, is your walk matters to others. Your walk with God doesn't just matter to you, it matters to others. And that's said in a lot of different ways. Philippians 3, I think, gives us a good summary of that. Philippians 3, look at verse 17. Paul says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have a pattern, us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Right? Earthly things are what's before them. And here in this summary, Paul says, "Brethren, follow my example and note those who so walk. You have us for a pattern." It's not just himself. He's not just saying, "I'm the Apostle Paul, you can only follow me." He's saying, there are people who clearly walk with God. Look at them. They're a pattern. They're an example for your life. And their example is a good thing in your life. Then he warns them, there are also those who don't walk with God. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Their mind is filled with other things. And he warns them, they are bad examples. So our walk with God, believers, matters positively to others in our life and could be a hindrance and a danger to others in our life. It's repeated through the Old Testament. I think you see it summarized very much in the Kings and the Chronicles. I'll give you a summary. 1 Kings 22, speaking about one person, says he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. Asa was a good, godly king. And he did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Then it tells us he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel to sin. So when the writer is summing up individual lives, it'll say of one, he walked in the way of God like his father Asa. He took a good example and followed it. Another person who walked with God, not perfect, but they truly walk with God. Then he'll say, this person, they followed the example of Jeroboam, who was an idolater, who lived in sin, and his father and mother, who also then were sinners, and they walked after them. So there's the negative example that some followed. There's the positive example that some followed. Whose path are we on? What do we see in this? What are others supposed to see in our walk? And the answer is very simple. Just a genuine walk with God. Not perfection, but if you looked at Enoch or Noah or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, you would see that person walks with God. They made mistakes here and there, some more than others. You look at Daniel or Esther or Joseph, that person walks with God. They sincerely walk with God. They know God. There is a good example there. Or they don't really walk with God. They might claim it, but they're walking somewhere else. And it's important because that example matters. excuse me, there's a missionary named John G. Patton, and he was a missionary to these various cannibalistic islands. God did a pretty remarkable work in his life. He's a well-known missionary. He wrote an autobiography. If you want something semi-exciting, you can look into that. But John G. Patton talks about his father, just a normal guy who worked. I think he was like a deacon at the church, pretty poor family. And he talks about his father's influence in his life. Many people have heard of John G. Patton. Many people have not heard of his father. But here's what he says in his autobiography. He says the closet was a very small apartment between two other rooms, having room only for a bed, a little table, and a chair, with a small window shedding diminutive light on the scene. This was the sanctuary of that cottage home. There, daily and oftentimes a day, generally after each meal, we saw our father retire and shut the door. And we children got to understand by a sort of spiritual instinct, for the thing was too sacred to be talked about, that prayers were being poured out there for us, as of old by the high priest within the veil in the most holy place. We occasionally heard the pathetic echoes of a trembling voice pleading as if for life, and we learned to slip out past that door on tiptoe, not to disturb the holy meeting. The outside world might not know, but we knew where that happy light, as of a newborn smile, was always dawning on my father's face. It was a reflection from the divine presence in the consciousness of which he lived. Never in the temple or cathedral, on mountain or in glen, can I hope to feel that the Lord God is more near, more visibly walking and talking with men, than under that humble cottage roof of thatch and oaken wattles. Though everything else in religion were by some unthinkable catastrophe to be swept out of memory or blotted from my understanding, my soul would wander back to those early scenes, shut itself up once again in that sanctuary closet, and hearing still the echoes of those cries to God, would hurl back all doubt with the victorious appeal, he walked with God, why may not I? More affecting in his life than anything else. Now, I'm not putting the responsibility of anyone else's individual walk on any pastor or father or mother, but what I am saying is this. Our lives are either helping people along the way and making it easier for them, or hurting them along the way and making it much harder. That's what the Bible teaches. Your walk with God matters to others. You are either helping them and making the path easier, or you are hurting them and making it harder. We're all imperfect individuals following the Lord. There's only one perfect Son of God. Still, we don't have to have the wrong goal. The people in our life should believe that we walk with God. They should believe that. They should know that. They should recognize that. And it is an incredible privilege to be able to have that I think we can easily take for granted. You guys know that guy, Pastor Joe. Some of you have been here for a long time listening to Pastor Joe, which means you heard a lot of stories about me when I was young as a child. Some of you are laughing because you know they were typically difficult stories. But I'm now in front of the mic, and I could tell you stories about Pastor Joe. And and you never know if your child is going to be in front of a mic one day, so think about that. But I say that to say this. My father is the best man that I know. Now, why is that? Because I've seen more of him than I'll see of any other person. I'm not going to be with another man in that much. I'm not going to be around them that often. I'm not going to see that from any other male. Now, I could tell you more stories about Pastor Joe's faults than anybody else, probably, other than maybe my mother, right? There's that ability. It doesn't mean he was perfect, but there is a reality of his walk with the Lord there. And I think that's important. For every father in this room, every mother in this room with her daughter, you have the chance to be the best man or the best woman they'll ever meet in their life. Because of your walk with God. Don't take that for granted. That's a privilege that you can earn or ruin. If you don't have kids yet, you need to think about that. If you have young kids, you need to think about that. It's a little different. I have daughters. A father with daughters is different because my daughters are going to grow up. And if God tarries, hopefully marry a godly man that I hope is better than me. And they'll see more of their husband than they will of me. And God bless him. I want that to be true. Obviously, as a son with my mother, I've now lived outside of my parents' home more than I lived in it. Plus, I don't really remember much of the first couple of years in their home. You know, 1 to 5 is all kind of a blur. So I've lived now with my wife longer than that. And my wife is a godly woman. She's the best woman I know. There's situations where we know that are sad. You have bad parents. You have a bad spouse. So there's some women in here, you are the best woman that your husband knows. He just doesn't know it. but the reality is this. For all of us, even in those situations, there is then a man or a woman that is the best man or woman that you know. You want to know why? Because they walk with God the most. You might be a grandparent, you might be an uncle, you might end up being a friend. Your walk with God matters to other people. You might be the best man or the best woman that they get to know in their life. Outside of Jesus, not perfect, but outside of Jesus, we're supposed to have good examples that we follow. Your walk with God matters. Matters to you, and it matters to other people. The Bible teaches in a whole bunch of different ways. Now, if you would, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I think what we're going to see here is walking with God is a lifelong pursuit that pleases him. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 says this, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God." So this is important. If you don't know the background, Paul went to Thessalonica. He planted the church there. But very shortly after he planted the church, persecution came in and he was driven out. He was only there a couple weeks, maybe 8 weeks. Maybe a little bit longer, possibly even shorter than that. And even in his letters, he's writing back. He's very concerned because usually he plants a church and he stays there until that church is solid, and then he would leave. This one he got driven out of. He was sending Titus or Timothy back, trying to encourage them, make sure they're all right. He was worried about their faith. And what he says to baby Christians who have no Christian background, who have only learned what he gave to them in a couple weeks is, notice, you know how you should abound more and more and walk with God and please him. He feels like he can just tell baby Christians, walk with God and do it more and more and please him, and that's enough. You get what I'm saying? They didn't know so many things, but he's like, here's what you do need to know. You started walking with God, walk with him more and more, and please him. That's the goal. All of us at some point, if you're a born-again believer, you started walking with God. Very similar to the disciples, at some point God came in your life and said, follow me, and you chose to follow him. That doesn't end somewhere along the line. You're supposed to abound more and more in that, and that goes all the way. And that's the thing that is most pleasing to him. Enoch, we're told, again, walk with God, but in Hebrews 11, it tells us, interestingly enough, that he had this testimony that he pleased God. It doesn't say that he walked with God. It says that he pleased God, because walking with God is what was pleasing to God. He walked with him. Who's our ultimate example, of course, in these things? It is Jesus Christ. There's one person who walked with God sinlessly, who before he did any type of ministry, what did we hear at the baptism? God speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. All he was a son, a brother, and a carpenter. No miracles yet, no public ministry. Later in his public ministry, John 8:29, he would say, he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus says, the person who sent me is with me. Never alone. I always walk with him. And I do always those things that please him. The two go together. Pleasing God is walking with God. That's what God wants. God didn't save any of us so that we can live at a distance from him. He didn't shed his blood for you so that you could live far away or not in close relationship with him. He wants to be more and more in relationship with you, walking more and more in relationship with you, and that's what pleases him. This is a lifelong pursuit. Now, that could seem, you're like, okay, but that's Jesus. He's perfect. I am not perfect, which means there's issues in my walk with the Lord. The wonderful thing is the perfect person knew that, so they did something about it. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How do imperfect sons and daughters walk closely with a perfect God? Well, he paid for our sin. I just acknowledge it, and his blood cleanses me, and I can have communion with him. How did the disciples do it? They were imperfect. Jesus rebuked them. They were like, you're right. And he's like, okay, keep following me. That's what we do. He has made a way for imperfect sons and daughters to keep walking with him and be pleasing to him, to know the privilege of being loved by God and having the privilege of loving God in return. That's possible. There's not a single person in this room that has any excuse to not be walking with God. Jesus has made a way. Tozer, in his book, Delighting in God, says this, my fellowship with God is much more than one day I'm going to die and go to heaven. My fellowship with God is experiencing the manifest presence of God in my day-to-day living, not just a Sunday morning experience that cannot be replicated throughout the week. The dynamics of our worship is an everyday experience. It's not true worship if we don't understand who God really is. God wants us to know the pleasure of walking with him through our daily, normal life. He doesn't want you to come in to Sunday morning, get ministered to, walk out, and forget him. Right? You can go into that parking lot, and the thing that can fill your vision is the bad driver in front of you. And it can begin to dominate your life. Or God can still be filling your vision, and you can think, dear Lord, I don't know how they're still alive. Bless them, keep them, set a hedge about them. Changes things, right? Changes things. That's a joke, but you understand. And I've prayed that before. So what we are beginning here goes on from eternity. It's not, we don't start somewhere and then, you know, check in, check out. God wants this to continue and to have us abound in it more and more. Revelation 3:4, God says, you have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That's what God wants. And at the end of it all, Revelation 21, 23, and 24, it says, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. What do we see at the end? What is perfect humanity? Did God save you just so you can go to heaven and not hell? No. God saved you so that you could go to heaven and experience a perfect relationship with him. What is perfect humanity? Perfect humanity is human beings walking in the light of God for all eternity with nothing left in them, body, soul, or spirit, that will conflict with a relationship with God. That's what the end game is. If you don't like walking with God now, you're not going to like heaven very much. That is what he's working us to. And we grow in the blessing of that. And I'm sure many of you older saints here have walked with God for some time can say amen to that. He has shown up in your life, and more and more and more you are confident in his presence. And what he begins to do in us is what he ultimately wants to finish. God's ideal, glimpsed in Eden, in a garden with Adam and Eve, with the possibility of sin still that fails, is realized in a new heavens and earth in the new Jerusalem, where God dwells among us and we all walk in the light of his person. We live our normal lives there for all eternity, except never worrying that anything's going to interrupt it or get in the way. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 16 and 18 say, God says, I will dwell among them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. God wants you to abound more and more in your walk with him and to please him. He doesn't need anything else from you. He wants a relationship with you. He died to make that possible. And it is possible for every single one of us. And Paul can look at baby Christians and say, make this your goal. And know it'll be good enough. If you'll go to one more place, John chapter 6. The scriptures are always honest. So what we see when we look at this phrase, walking with God, is also one more reality, which is we can choose to walk away from God. John chapter 6, verse 66. Some of you may know this verse, just sums it up. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. There are a lot of people who are connected with Jesus up to a point, but then he does something we don't understand. Then he says something that's hard to accept. Then he acts in a way that he's God, and we have to submit and say, where else can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. But there are some people in that moment who decide, you know what? I'm going to walk somewhere else, which means I'm going to connect somewhere else. I'm going to listen somewhere else. And all through the Bible, this call is repeated over and over again. God pleads with men to walk in the right way. He says, walk in my ways, in my statutes, in my judgments, in my commands, in my law. Walk before the Lord, walk before me. Over and over again, there's these calls, walk this way. Then there's these warnings. Do not walk, he says, contrary to me, in sins, in the way of evil, after other gods, in lies, in darkness, in pride, after Baals, in the ways of the Pharisees, according to the dictates of your own hearts. Don't walk as the Gentiles do. There's over and over these calls. That's the wrong way. That's the wrong way. I'm not going that way. Don't walk that way. Walk this way. And he does that because it is possible to choose to walk away from him. And then what does that mean to walk away from God? How would we know? Well, the same things we've been talking about. Something else fills your vision. Particularly, you're willing to listen to somebody else. Right? When you're walking with somebody, there's a word that's supposed to be shared. We're expecting that person to talk, to converse, to have something to say. When we walk with God, we know his purposes. We know his plans. We know the things that please him. We know the things that displease him. We allow him to speak into our lives. And unlike friends that I can walk with and they can have opinions and I can just reject them, when God says something, he's always right. So I have to take that as the truth. And if I start to distance myself from God, I don't want to hear what he's saying. I don't want to hear what he speaks. I am not truly intent to know what he says. Right? Show up at a church, I don't need my Bible, I don't even care about that. Well, if you don't care about what somebody says, it shows the distance in your relationship. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That means my attitude toward what he says is a reflection of my love to him. If I care very little about what he has to say, then I'm probably walking a different path. We let God define our path. We don't start to walk contrary to him. That's what we used to be. When the Bible describes us as unsaved, it says, Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2, he made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Colossians 3:7 says, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. That's what we were like when we were unsaved. We walked contrary to him. We didn't care what he said. We were going places he could not go. That was what our lives were. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Peter says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness and lusts and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries in 1 Peter 4:3. He said, we've had enough of that. We did all that. That's how we walked. And we were saved to not walk that way anymore. To walk with him. And the Bible teaches that you and I are born of God. The basic summary of it. We were born of God to walk with God. That is why you were saved. To be in a relationship with God. That is the best thing going in your life. And I was not saved to walk contrary to him. That's what life outside of him looks like. We're not made to live at a comfortable distance from him. And to be distant from God is not geography. God is everywhere. But we understand this even in personal realms. If you are walking closely with somebody, we would say you have a relationship with them. We just use a different term. The reality, though, is I can be in close geographic proximity with somebody and still be way far away relationally. Be heading totally different directions. Right? We're in the world. We're working. Those are people who walk in trespasses and sins. They just don't know God. They don't have the ability to walk with God. You've been saved so that you can walk with God. And there's a certain level of communion that can happen unless you just choose to walk away from God, to go the way that God can't go, that he saved you from. 1 John 2:6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If you say you have a relationship with God, if I would ask you, do you walk with God? But you don't walk in a way God walks, John says you deceive yourself. You are distant from him, and he doesn't want to live distant from you. What will happen if we walk away from him? Isaiah 30:21 tells us, Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. What happens when we walk away from God? Well, he'll call you back. That's what will happen. What happened when humanity walked away from God? He shed his blood so that we could be redeemed. And any son or daughter that goes to the right hand or to the left, Isaiah says, you will hear a voice behind you. Behind you. That means you were walking one way with God and then you turned on a path. Now he's behind you. And he'll call and say, this is the way. Walk in it. Turn around. Come back. If you have been walking away from God, then hear this as God's voice calling you back. That's who he is. And it will happen to all of us because he's gracious. So easy to allow the world and other things begin to take God's place. They become the biggest thing. And all of a sudden, we're a little off track. Not a big turn, usually. It's just a little slightly slanted direction. And all of a sudden, we realize, ooh, I'm further away than I thought I was. Some of you have been at the beach. You get in the water, and that happens. There's a pull. Little further than you thought. You turn back, you know, I'm a little further out than I thought I was going to be. Now, I don't do that because I don't want a shark to eat me, so I need to be able to touch the ground. But it's not a godly reason. But God is going to, because he's gracious, call you back. And that is what a relationship is. He's spoken to us. Sometimes we feel distant, but we're distant because we're rejecting him. He's a person. Any relationship is going to be built on mutual interests, mutual likes, mutual purposes. You have a relationship with somebody because you work with them. You meet somebody somewhere, you have a similar like. I like to travel and put on Eagles gear because then I get go birds wherever I go, right? I'm like, go birds. So it's an easy start. Somebody you don't really know, though, it gets awkward. You're standing there, you know, you're stuck with somebody. I was in an elevator with this guy the other day. There were three of us. It was a very tiny one. And one guy left and the other guy was right next to me. He just moved to the other side of the elevator. I was like, what, you didn't want to hang out over here? To his credit, he played along. He's like, I don't think we know each other that well yet. So, but it was fun. Got to meet that guy. Right? You have an awkward, you're just kind of there, people you don't know. So you talk about the weather. Hot out there, right? That tells you your level of relation. They're an acquaintance. We share very minor interests here. Then somebody you start to know, somebody at work, somebody around a little bit more, you start to build a little bit more of a relationship. People you're close with, though, what? You share personal things. And then ultimately, the people you're closest with, you are unguarded with them. I don't have to worry about anything I say. I don't have to worry you're going to take it wrong or think it wrong or get this the wrong way. You understand my heart and you can share whatever. And you care about them and you understand they care about those things in your life. Do you understand God has purposes in your life? God has interests in your personal life. God has interests in your marriage. God has interests in your work. God has interest in your kids' lives, in your grandkids' lives. God has interest in your friends' lives. God has interest in your life. You are here. That means he still has something for you. And if all we care about is our own interests and we don't care anything about God's interest, you probably feel distant from God. You're not walking closely with him. You're ignoring this other person. Now, wonderfully, he's never going to leave you or forsake you. But you're going to struggle feeling like, man, how come I don't see more of God in my life? Well, maybe you should ask him, Lord, what do you want to happen here? Care a little bit about his glory, his reputation, his will, his purpose. And all of a sudden, God will begin to share some pretty remarkable things with you. And many of you know this. It's not. Sometimes it's supernatural. Maybe he'll tell you to build an ark. But you know what most of the time it is? It's pretty just normal stuff. But to go through your day and know that you walk with God, that's what we're here for. Amos says it like this. How can two walk together unless they're agreed? How can two walk together unless they're agreed? Are you agreed with God? Do you have a walk with Him? Then you should abound in that more and more. It is what you're going to take with you right into eternity. And the one that you walk with is the one that's going to walk you all the way through. He's our only guide, even through death. And it's a blessing we get to have Him. But if you're here and you're distant, and you know you're distant, or maybe you've gone off track, can I just say, you should hear a voice behind you in the way saying, this is the way, walk in it. And respond to Him, it's what you were made for. It's what you were made for, and it will please Him. Amen? Let's stand and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love toward us. We thank You that You are in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to Yourself. We thank You that even though You created us and gave us ourselves, when we lost ourselves, You gave Yourself again and redeemed us. We owe ourselves to You many times over. And we thank You, Lord, for that promise that You are never going to leave us or forsake us. And that no matter where we are on the path, You're always calling us to a closer communion with You. So I just pray, Lord, any son or daughter of Yours that is distant, that they would turn back today and that they would find You close. And that they would know the joy of walking in the light and having fellowship with You and having Your blood cleanse them from all sin. And Lord, for those of us who know You, I pray that You would never take away from us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness in You. You said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they'll be filled. So allow us, Lord, to open our mouths wide and have You fill them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.